organized labor has seen a steady decline over the years. A smaller percentage of Americans belong to a labor union today than at any point since the Great Depression.
Our next guest says that as wages fail to keep pace with inflation and benefits in the workplace diminish, now is the time for a resurgence in organized labor. And she thinks that young people should be the ones to make it happen.
Kashana Colley is a writer for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Her recent opinion piece for The New York Times is called Why Millennials Should Lead the Next Labor Movement. Kashana, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. It's been a while.
Well, you write in a piece in the New York Times that a lot of the values that you were raised with were kind of reflected in the magazines that were sitting around your house. What do you remember about those magazines?
What do I remember about those magazines? My parents had a really large magazine rack in the bathroom, which I always thought was amusing, you know, like they might expect you to, say, decide to live there or something. We had magazines that reflected being African American and proud. We had magazines, lifestyle magazines. Just, you know, my mom was big into decorating, so we had that sort of thing. And we had union magazines. My dad is a retired auto worker and proud member of the UAW for most of my childhood until he retired. He and I would pick those up and read those. It's funny because they were obviously the driest things on the stack. Everything else had really colorful photography, really, you know, short bites and issues. But part of me just kind of wondered what he did all day. I think his kids knew what they're doing. And the union magazine told me how life working on the line was. He literally worked on the line. He put a number of things under the hoods of cars. He put seat belts in cars. And talked about fighting for union members' rights to do their jobs under good conditions. From having seen him suffer various work-related issues when you stand up for 10 hours a day, that wreaks havoc on your knees, especially if you're not the world's youngest person. But I think generally everyone he worked with complained about knee issues from time to time. It was just great knowing that there were these people out there at the union who were taking care of my dad and making sure that he was okay. That's kind of the way he explained it to me when we talked, and that's kind of the way the union magazines explained it also. In exchange for the hard work that he did, he would be taken care of by these folks who were looking out for his interests at work, and I just thought that was kind of cool.
Looking back, do you remember some of the benefits that your dad got from being part of a union on a job that was pretty demanding on his body?
We had great health insurance, which I think about almost every day now, given that Obamacare repeal is on the table in Congress. We had pretty minimal copays. We had just general coverage for lots of types of treatments. We went through, my family has some skin ailments. One of my younger brothers is autistic. So we had good coverage when we wanted to deal with those issues. We would go and it wouldn't be that bad of a hit to our finances. I grew up and left their house and got much, much crappier insurance as people in their 20s do. And just having the experience of looking at a bill that had thousands of dollars when I was making just above minimum wage in my 20s was horrifying and not an experience I would wish on anybody. Just the kind where you end up putting out months of payment plans and you hope that they're not going to call you. Like, it was that level of cost. And so from having that experience, I found myself looking back at my dad's union membership and going, you know, it really is a good deal when people are fighting on behalf of your interests in work and do things like negotiate health care plans for you that do not leave you at risk for bankruptcy.
You also write that being in the union, you think, helped your family afford a house eventually.
I think so, yeah. They were paid pretty well for people who did blue-collar work. Just from growing up in Wisconsin and meeting the other folks who worked at Dad's plant and other Wisconsinites, especially folks, I'm from Madison, but other folks who were like from Rock County, from Janesville, just the GM jobs, my dad worked at the GM plant that closed in 08, were good jobs. They paid well, they could help you buy a house, they could take care of your health insurance, they were considered to be these really plum jobs. A lot of folks talk about employment and jobs and how to find jobs, and I think that's really important. I think people do need to be employed, but a lot of what we're not discussing is how good are these jobs that are being offered.
Now, unions are in decline across the country, but also in particular here in Wisconsin. What do you think is lost if people aren't in unions, as you think it is in your piece?
There are benefits like health insurance and pay. There are hits to working conditions. I mean, just, you know, what are people breathing in jobs that involve chemicals or whatnot? Who's looking out for workers in conditions like that? But also, I'd argue that belonging to a union gave my dad and the other people he worked with a sense of solidarity with each other, that they were really part of a team, that they were working together. Collective bargaining brings you together as a group. It makes you aware that you have interests as workers and that you share those interests with other people. It's a form of community, of civic belonging. And I feel that the decline in the period of union decline, we've also lost that sense of civic belonging and duty to each other in our workplaces.
Kashana Kali is with us right now. She's a writer for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and her recent opinion piece for The New York Times is called Why Millennials Should Lead the Next Labor Movement. And Kashana, I want to ask you about that. You say that you think millennials are kind of uniquely positioned to be the ones to launch and lead the next big labor movement. Why do you say that?
I think millennials have borne the brunt of deunionization in the United States. I think that a lot of millennials are deeply overworked and underpaid. Just from talking to folks I know, I know that millennials support unions more than other previous generations do statistically. And adding all that together really seems to give millennials an opportunity to organize, to fight for their rights within workplaces.
I want to ask you about a statistic now. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that in 2016, only 10.7% of American workers belonged to a union. That's a low point since records started being kept. Do you think that unions are simply past their prime and that people maybe just don't want to be a member of a labor union anymore?
I'm sure there is some of that, but there's also a big right-to-work movement where state governments and local governments are actively discouraging the formation of unions in workplaces. And in addition to that, at least where I live now in New York, there's actually been a fresh round of organizing among media companies and other entities, other types of professional writers in my current union, the Writers Guild of America East. And so I've been seeing a local spike in union membership and interest in unions. But I think, in general, there are a lot of forces that are not helping people to organize, and that those are, and just, you know, a lot of workplaces aren't necessarily pro the idea of a union, as well as, because of the relative unpopularity of unions, I'm not sure that people think of organizing or see themselves as people who could belong to a union.
Now, if there is a reboot of the labor movement for the era that we live in now, what do you think needs to change with the approach? New challenges and also big changes to how unions are run?
In a way, because of current low union membership, I think the next generation of organizers is probably going to have to go out and explain to people why unions are good and to listen to folks about what they need from their workplaces and how a union could possibly benefit them. Like, it might just be just an opportunity to learn about unions and what they do for a lot of people. Because we really have like a generation of folks where the folks who are like people like me, our parents, our grandparents belong to unions. A lot of us don't. We have these memories, but we don't necessarily know what unions do and how they're kind of really the only force that can negotiate wages and working conditions for you in so fact that you get a statistical improvement in those. Individual workers can negotiate those things, but oftentimes, especially in like blue collar stuff, nobody's going to listen to you if you don't have a union. And so I think new generations of organizers, you're just going to have to go out and like talk to people about that stuff and listen to their concerns.
Are you optimistic that this change is going to happen, that this movement will take off?
Yeah, I am optimistic. I do see a lot of excitement about organizing, and when I read articles and check the news, I do. I have the experience of belonging to a union where we're happy about what we've managed to accomplish as union members and where our organizers are available to us and answer a great deal of questions and help us a great deal. And I think that people are tired. I think they're tired of being underpaid. I think they're tired of not having predictable hours. And I think they're tired of lack of job security. And they're going to, and this is kind of one of the best options for changing those things. And so I think people are going to be more open to union membership and organizing in the future because of current working conditions.
Kashana, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Kashana Colley, writer for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. She recently wrote an opinion piece for The New York Times saying that millennials should lead the next labor movement.